We represent you.
Attack the short side again. Tupou away. Tedesco pulled it in. This time it's Carey in support.
We feel you by your presence. Via Rooster.
Joseph Manu, a try that only Manu could score.
Well, Roosters fans, what a week on Roosters Radio. That number 40 keeps recurring. A 40-year-old record was maintained. 40,000 for our coach. And this week, it's 40-16 over the Canberra Raiders. Goodbye, Ricky. It's ta-da the goose and move on to the Gold Coast Titans, where we've got the toolbox out. You can't hand a man a grander spanner, and we're going to tighten the screws. Silky and Bells, welcome to a great week of finals. It's a new comp, and I'm excited.
Wow, big intro, Bush. I'm excited for this show. Tonight, we're going to speak to the one and only Boyd Cordner. Can't wait for that. But let's talk footy. It was a great performance by our boys. Look, the Raiders had everything to play for, absolutely everything. And they, they didn't turn up, did they? Roosters were dominant, 40-16. Kieran, three tries. Ben Marshke scoring his first try of his NRL career. And some of the young players, particularly our bench, were really impressive.
Mm.
What a game of footy it was, boys. Thursday night, they just stormed it in. It was 40-16, an awesome win, and some really good things happened to take into the finals. Like, yes, the Raiders played shocking. Their completion rate was woeful, but I was just really excited to see – I was actually excited to see the combos come together. I took out of that game that left-hand combination with Kieran and Toops. That was outstanding. I was just I thought if they can take that into the finals, we can really shake some of these teams up. They just played so well together.
Great to see Adam Kieran get a plethora of tries, and obviously hitting that post didn't do him too good, but Siwa kick one from in front. I mean, some great highlights for me. So good to see Josh Morris come back into the side and finish the season proper after such a stellar career and what he's done with our club. Really, really nice to see the return of Angus Crichton, who I just thought, crash ball Crichton they're calling him, all the judges that I know. You know, he just takes that ball on the line so well, and you could just see his leadership. He got up and had a little bit of, a little argy-bargy with Whitehead, and you could see it was a fair bit of respect there. So I think he kind of went, oh, it's you. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like he's pushing some young kid around. And then, of course, Matty Ikavalu on the wing, you know, albeit, those knees to the head weren't too good to see, but great to see him return for the period he did. So lots to like for Roosters fans.
Lots to like indeed. Look, Drewy Hutchison, I've been singing his praises on this podcast for quite a number of weeks now. I love the way he plays, and he
show
really upped his game there last week. He commanded the football.
Best game I've seen him play.
Oh, yeah, and what a time to have it as we lead into the semi-finals. Look, he's a real footballer. Takes the line on, you know, doesn't mind running it on the last tackle.
Kicking.
His kicking game was exceptional. Look, that was his team there last Thursday night. I'm really excited that this week he's going to be playing with that type of confidence heading into the finals.
And Silky, you've been saying this for a while, and we're both big Drew Hutchison fans, and the only thing you can say about Drew is give that man a new, because he deserves one. I think what you're talking about, the fans are seeing the growth in him, because he hopped into a number six jumper that was owned by Luke Keary. He's had mixing halves with a young half in Sam Walker, and he's trying to sort of mentor Sam as well as create a combination. Then Lachie Lamb comes in. But I love that I think Robbo has taken Drew aside and said, righto, you direct this side. And he's taken upon himself those kicks to the corners. I haven't seen that since Mitchell Pearce and, played at half. You know, those quality of kicks, just pinpoint accuracy right into the corner. We're scoring lots of tries back in 2013.
He's playing good footy. Yep. And his defence is sound. To your point, Bill, is that left-hand side of attack. Look, the players know we're going to come down that side, but they can't defend against it. And that's really good to see. But look, he was a standout for me. I completely agree. His best game in the red, white and blue. But I thought our bench was also dominant. You know, the young fellas, Nafahu White and this monster, Tuku Hautapuha. Wow.
He's huge.
He is an absolute behemoth. Look, he had one little dropsy early in the first half, but he got plenty of minutes. And this is, look, we come back to it again. Like, it's so exciting, season 2022, because we're blooding all these young players. Egan Butcher, I think he may have played 80 minutes, and he topped the tackle count. So, it was just a great performance, and I was delighted with the score.
Egan Butcher's really exciting to watch. As you just said, I can't wait to see him next year hit the field again. I think he's going to be one of those ball playing second rowers. He showed a couple of offloads on the weekend and some footwork that coming in to the line was just, it was really good. So he's really going to be promising to watch next year.
Bells, he always seems to poke his nose through the defence, and he threw that beautiful inside ball to Teddy that ended up being a try. So he's a ball-playing back rower, and, you know, they're rare in the modern-day football, but he's a good one.
Absolutely. And I think, Silky, to see the young players debut and Coach Robinson bring back some experience to the side, it was the perfect mix. And then this week, with Victor coming back in, there's so much to like and look forward to.
Speaking of things alike, guys, after the break, we're going to talk to our captain, Boyd Cordner. He's up there in the bubble, up there in Queensland. Look, it's all been said and done. He's now retired, but he's been in the box, and I really look forward to having a conversation with Boyd. You're on Roosters Radio, and when we come back, the man himself, Boyd Cordner.
Well, Roosters fans, it just gets exciting every week, Silky and Bells. Last week, we dusted off Ricky Stewart, and I tell you what, we showed great leadership across the park. We've got young leaders. We've got Teddy, our new captain. But I tell you what, on this week's show, we've got a man that is revered by all Roosters fans, a man that is loved. And we say it all the time when he comes on, men want to be him, women love him, kids absolutely idolise him, and we still do on Roosters Radio. Would you please welcome our captain forever, Boyd Cordner. Boydie, welcome to Roosters Radio.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again. It's good to be here.
Boydie, if I could kick it off first. Look, I want to take it back to the first time I heard your name, as a matter of fact. I was working on the wharves, and Greg Evans was sitting at Smoker and said, mate, a mate of mine's young bloke's coming down to Sydney. He's got plenty of ability. I think he'll go a long way. He's going to stay, I think it was at his sister's place at the time. But that was a 16-year-old Boyd Cordner. Leaving the family home, your old man, your brother. Tell us what it was like moving to Sydney as a 16-year-old to chase your rugby league dream.
Yeah, looking back on it now, it was a ripe age, wasn't it? I've got cousins that are 16 now, and I look at them and they're still kids in my eyes. And I come down to Sydney with a dream, and I got thrown in the deep end pretty quick. I was training with first grade at 16 years old, had a full preseason when Freddie was coach in 2009, and wow, yeah, it was an opener, and I said to myself, I was talking to Dad every day on the phone, and I really couldn't believe it for the first few weeks, but it's something that I really wanted to do, and if Dad didn't think I could handle it, I don't think he would have sent me down that young. So I gave it everything I had, and I tell a story now where I was 16, and I trained that preseason with first grade, and I went back home for school, and they were flying me down on weekends to play SG ball. I was still a year young for SG ball, and it was after the third game we played at Penrith, and after the game it was stinking hot in the middle of the day. And we end up winning, and I come off, and it was Peter O'Sullivan at the time. He was the recruitment manager. He goes, quick, come over here. He goes, have you got your gear close? I was like, yeah, it's just inside. I said, why is that? He goes, get your gear. He goes, we need to go to Campbelltown Stadium. You know, first grade's playing a trial. I was like, oh, sweet, yes, no dramas. We'll go there and watch. He goes, no, you're playing. I was like, oh, it's like I couldn't spare. I was like, what's that? And he goes, mate, you're going to be playing. Quick, go and get your gear. We haven't got time. We need to shoot over there. So all in like the one go, I sort of ran to Dad. I was like, mate, we got to go to Campbelltown Stadium. I was like, he goes, yeah, sweet, no dramas. I'm playing. And he goes, what? Like, are you serious? I was like, mate, that's what I heard. I think I'm doing. So I jumped in with my boots still on. I remember going to Campbelltown Stadium, going in the sheds, and, you know, guys like Nate Miles, Mark O'Mealy, you know, Willie Mason, and I honestly couldn't believe it. I jumped in the ice bath and, you know, washed off, got gear on, and ended up getting the last 20 minutes of that game. And then I got on the flight, went back to school and told my mates. They didn't believe me. But, that was probably like my earliest memories of moving down to Sydney and, giving it a crack at the Roosters.
Mate, I look at your age now, and when you share that story, I realise you've spent half your life at the club.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I've had a bit of time to reflect now since I caught it earlier on in the year, and it's just... It hasn't flown. Like, I've had, you know, so many, you know, different experience, life lessons learnt since the time that I've been down here. And, friends, and yeah, it's just been a whirlwind and such an unbelievable experience, and I'm so glad to be able to do it at the Roosters.
Now, Boyd, just on the young boys of the club, and I just wanted to go back to the beginning of your career again. Who was Boyd Cordner's mentor when you started your rugby league journey at the Roosters?
Yeah, so when I come down as a 16-year-old, obviously going to training, and, you know, it was only – so we played our under-16s grand final back home for the Tari Red Rovers, and it was probably 2 months after that where I was going down and I was training in first grade. And these are guys that we're all pretending to be in the backyard when we're having backyard games of footy, like Fitzy and Willie Mason, and, you know, and then I was going to training with these guys. So I never really spoke much for the first 2 years. I only just knew what I was good at, and I just stayed at that, and I didn't want to, you know, I just wanted to gain the respect off them guys first before, you know, I wanted to know my place and respect them, and there was their join, and I knew I was only coming in as a young guy. So, but when people see that, you know, I can remember my first weight session. I walked in and I got handed this, you know, your program, and I'm like, all right, partner up. But I was never going to go to someone and say, oh, do you want to be my partner? So I remember Sean Kenny Dow was the first guy to come over and goes, come on, you're with me, let's go. And, you know, stuff like that I'll always remember. And I remember Mitch Pearce. I'm sure you guys are very fond of him and how much of a good bloke he is and a kind heart. And that's probably been his biggest trait throughout his whole career, was to how he connected with the younger boys and to make them feel like they belonged. So Skidzy and Piercy, I got along with really well early. And then the year after, when Toddy came, we shared a special bond, and we're still best mates today. We speak every day, and it's them guys that I didn't have a license down in Sydney at the young age. And I remember when I used to catch a bus from training to go home back to Mascot, and I was at the bus stop one day, and Todd, you know, it was a long Anzac parade, mind you. He couldn't stop, and he seen me, and he stopped in the middle of the road, and he went down the window, and he's going, what are you doing? I was like, man, I'm just waiting for the bus to get home. And he goes, no, you're not. He goes, jump in. And I was like, no, no, no. He goes, mate, jump in, or I'm going to go. Someone's going to run up the arse of me. So I went in and jumped in the car, and he lived at Coogee, but he didn't mind going to Mascot to drop me off. And then after that, he'd come and pick me up every day and drop me off. And I suppose he's got a fairly bad rap with, you know, the mistakes that he's made. But guys like that, I'll always, you know, have time for. And, yeah, I just love looking back on times like that.
Let's fast forward. It's your first grand final. And can you talk us through, you know, the excitement? I mean, you go from being a 16-year-old playing in a trial, and such a great story. It means so much, you know, to you and your family. Then you actually make your debut and Toddy Carney kicks that field goal. Talk us through that first premiership for the Roosters, the first premiership win, and what it was like to be part of that and what it meant to you.
Yeah, so that year was it was one of my favourite years, definitely. You know, the signing of Robbo, and then we had just a couple of marquee signings, Michael Jennings, Sonny, James Maloney, arguably all in the prime of their career. And we started the year really well. I remember it was halfway through the season, and we were sitting around the top of the table, and we had three matches, which was a tough stretch for us leading into the bye round just before Origin. And I thought to myself, if we win these, we'll win the comp. And sure enough, we ended up winning all those. I remember sitting in the sheds just before that bye, going, looking around, going, we're going to win the comp this year. I was only 21. And then the next week in the physio room, I was getting treated, and Minnie walked in, and the first thing I said to him, I was like, hey, Minnie, he was the captain. He goes, yeah. I was like, mate, we're winning the comp this year. And he goes, mate, 100% we are. And he told that story when we were sitting around at my retirement. And it was a couple of games. It was after Origin, and I was lucky enough to debut in that game three that year, and I had all the confidence in the world. It was probably my breakout year, I think, with my NRL career, and everything was going well. And then I ended up doing my ankle two rounds heading into the finals, and I had to get surgery on my syndesmosis. And it was one of the first surgeries, the new surgeries they'd done with all the tight ropes. Then you hear of the boys just getting back in 6 weeks and whatnot. So the guy, he operated on it and come out and he goes, mate, it's normally about a 12-week thing. I was like, mate, I'm getting back in 6 weeks. I'm going to play the grand final. And he's like, oh, look, you know, sort of got shits. And I was like, mate, you do what you want sort of thing. I was like, yeah, no drama. So I said to the physio in that room, I was like, you guys get a program together that's going to get me back in 6 weeks and I'm going to do it. And they're like, oh, yeah, sweet. So I don't think they knew that I was going to do it. But anyway, I ended up getting sweet and I was right to go for the prelim to get into the grand final. That was against Newcastle. And then the boys were killing it. And then they rested me because Luke O'Donnell ended up being fit to play. So they're like, oh, look, if we win, we'll get you sweet for the GF. But then I started to think, you know, these guys aren't going to change a winning team. So all through the first few days of that week, I was going, mate, I'm not playing. I was like, what's going on? And I started to give me head. And then Robbo called me into his office. I'm like, oh, no, this is it. Like, he's going to tell me I'm not going to play. Like, how am I going to act? And then next minute he called me into the office and sat me down. He goes, look, mate, I'm going to start you. I was like, oh, how good is this? Like, let's go. Like, I wanted to play sort of the next day. Gave me all the confidence in the world and, yeah, went to play Manly. It was 8-6 heading into halftime. We were sort of in a commanding position. And then straight after halftime, they got two quick tries and they were up by about 10 points, I think it was, with probably about 20 to go. So I remember, I think it was Jimmy breaking through past the Cat and to Skids and then Aiden scored and we were up by two. And then obviously Jenko's try near the end there, and we're up by eight. We're up by eight with five to go, and I can just remember that last 5 minutes. Holy hell! And yeah, that was such a great memory for me looking back on now. And I suppose the week after that, and the partying and the celebrating, it's, you know, that's what it's all about.
Bordy, fast forwarding to 2018. In your career, you're the captain of New South Wales, you're the captain of the Roosters, you've made your debut for Australia and taken the captaincy there. There's an iconic photo in rugby league and there's many of them dating back to many premierships and, you know, Mal Meninga and Clive Churchill and coaches and, you know, Jack Gibson in a fur coat. And as far as iconic grand final photos go, there's one of you and Jared and you're so emotional yet so happy. And can you just explain to our fans what that meant to you and what you were feeling at the time and how special that moment is?
Yeah, so I suppose you could call it a long time between drinks between our last 2013 to 2018. And I don't think people realise how close we were in between them periods with making the prelims. I think we made the prelim final in 2014, got beat. 15, the same result. 16 was a write-off year with, you know, whatnot. And then 17, we got beaten the prelim again. So I'm like, how hard is it to, you know, I experienced it early on in my career and I probably took for granted how hard it was to not only make a grand final but to win it. So I said to myself, if I ever get in this position again, I'm going to soak it up and I'm going to make sure, you know, I enjoy it. And I remember, you know, that week of 2018 leading up to the game and we were so ready. The boys that were there that have tasted, you know, what it was like in 2013 to then be knocked out in three preliminary finals since, we were ready to go. And there was no way we were going to lose that game. And I think you've seen the way we played against the Storm is still one of the best games that I've been involved in, hands down. And we were up. It was near the end of the game and I think it was when Cameron Munster got sent off. He kicked Joey in the head and we took the two to just, you know, it was about 5 minutes to go and that was just, you know, icing on the cake and something just come over me. I knew we won it at that moment and Jared was just there and I don't know what come over me or, you know, I just seen him and it was like excitement. It was, you know, tears of joy, all these emotions, and it just all sort of come out. And I look back on it now and I know exactly what you're talking about, but, you know, I'm not even embarrassed about it. You know, I'm like, it was just in the moment and, you know, to see one of my best mates, and he's been there through it all with me, standing side by side to finally be on top once again. It was at that moment we just, you know, like I said, I didn't know how to feel, and the best times, the best memories ever.
So, Boyd, you just mentioned how hard it was from 13 to 18 to, you know, so long to get a premiership win. And then the next year, the following year, 19, back-to-back. Tell us about that experience and how that impacted your life at that time.
We had the same squad, so we were more than confident with, you know, our ability to get back there. But I think we had our different challenges in 2019 with injuries. We started the year off, obviously, yeah, pretty well, and we had injuries from about round four, and I don't think we fielded the same team until probably the first week of the finals, our full strength team. And oh, he's back. Yeah, go on then.
JWH.
Yeah, he's in the building.
King of the kids.
Yeah. And We had our injuries, and we're still going really well. And it was guys debuting, like you see now, Satili Tupanua. He debuted Semi Verrills. You see the games that he's playing now. So looking back on it now, it probably was a blessing in disguise. Again, in that final series, we had all our team back, and we talked about it all year. It was like, it's not going to be a good year unless we win it again and we go back to back and beat the Storm in the prelim. And yeah, the same thing all that week. No one wanted us to win. It was all about the Raiders. And we love that. We love that. You know, even though we were favourites, no one wanted us to win. We could feel that all week. Even in the media, that were, you know, everywhere was walking around was green. And even though the grand finals in Sydney, the whole, you know, everyone was jumping on the Raiders bandwagon. So that was definitely one of the toughest games we played, but that was just so satisfying after that to be able to win it like we did and to have Cooper in the bin pretty early and to hold on in defence and then, yeah, to go back-to-back and then have that whole thing again, that whole week of just partying and, oh, mate, it's just, that's why you play. It's for their memories and to have that moment to, you know, do that lap of honour and see your family and friends and then knowing the week ahead what's going to be with, you know, just like obviously stupid amounts of alcohol and good times.
Lots
and
of celebrations.
It's just, yeah, the celebrations, it's really good, so good.
Mate, I want to talk about leadership, and because you've captained at every level of the game, both club, state and the country, but people that know you, you're a quiet bloke. Your style of captaincy is more by actions rather than words, but when you speak, people listen. The role of being a leader, mate, I mean, you've always had an old head on young shoulders. Is it something that came easy to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think when I was a young kid, I had a lot of growing up to do early, obviously with the passing of my mum, and I had dad to look after Sam. We lived with our grandparents for a bit, which sort of forced us again to grow up pretty old because Pop was, you know, a bit of a hard head, and we sort of learned them old school values at a young age. And I've always said, and I've been asked a little bit about leadership and you know, why. But for me, I don't think anyone chooses to be a leader. Essentially, I think it's how you act and what sort of character you are as a person and your values and what you live by. And I honestly believe that's – I just try to stay true to myself ever since a young kid. And I've got taught that, you know, obviously from my dad and learned a fair bit from my grandparents as well, but I've sort of never wavered, and I've always knew, you know, what I believed in and what worked for me and, you know, who I am as a person. And for, if you relate that to footy, you know, I'm not meant to toot my own horn, but, you know, I'm a winner. Like, that's what, you know, I hate losing, and I'll do anything for my teammates in the jersey that I'm wearing to win. And ultimately, you know, that's what we're judged on, is, you know, our success in the game. Like, it's not, oh yeah, how hard can you play? But, you know, if you lose, like, no one's gonna, you know, we're in a job, a business where, you know, we have to have success. So, you know, I just wanted to obviously, you know, do the best that I could do, but with that come captaincy, and I accepted that. I've had a lot of great captains before me, but when I got thrown in at a young age, I didn't want to be a Cameron Smith, or I didn't want to be an Anthony Minicello, with all due respect. I wanted to be Boy Cordner, and, you know, I've had my own style, and like you touched on then, I'm probably not the most vocal captain, but, you know, I just wanted to go about my business the way I did, because that's why I was recognised as a leader, is because of who I am. So, yeah, I suppose that's my little bit on my experience as a leader.
Bordy, just riffing on leadership, you know, we're pretty fortunate at the Roosters that every other club hates us, and they hate us because they envy us. They won't admit it, but amongst themselves they talk about it. And, you know, you gained a lot of respect from so many different clubs just on a rugby league level who said, bugger the fact he's a Rooster. You know, you won him through New South Wales. You won him through playing for the Roosters. But we got great leadership. Can you talk to us a little bit about the influence of both, particularly our chairman, Nick Politis, on you and in our club, and then Trent Robinson?
Yeah, I think for Nick, with me, just knowing the person that he is and the aura that he has in the rugby league community, and not just the rugby league community. I think he's well known, even if you don't know rugby league. And, you know, for someone to him to show so much faith and in me, especially at the times I was talking about at the start of the podcast with my injuries, and you hear about, you know, the Roosters being pretty cutthroat and, you know, they'll move you on as quick as they sign you. But that wasn't the case for me. If anything, he sort of, you know, reached out even more when I was injured and reassured me I was going to be okay. And for him to do that, and a guy of his stature and, you know, how much respect I have for him, it just made me want to, you know, run through brick walls for him. And I suppose that's the influence that he's had on a lot of players that are at this club. And I think he's shown that he'll do anything for his players. And if you act the right way and do the right thing by the jersey and do the right thing by him, and I'm just so glad that, you know, I've got to experience my career here at the Roosters.
Bordy, can you just put, you know, one finger on what it is about Robbo that makes him so special and then makes young men into what they are? I mean, what he's done this year is incredible. And he's had great players like yourself to rely on and mentor him. But what is the Robbo factor?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever met a person that can bring a group of men together and make them believe as much as he does. You know, it's pretty amazing to see, you know, especially last year when we're going through all the COVID stuff and everyone, you know, didn't know what was happening. And, you know, I remember being in the office that day when the news board had come on and they called the game off and suspended the game, and we were all looking around going, what do we do? And we're asking Robbo, and everyone was going, mate, what do we do? And, you know, that's a sign of, like, I've never seen that before, about grown men who are, we consider ourselves, you know, people in the Roosters, and we're turning to Robbo and we're asking him, we go, mate, what are we doing? Like, what's going on? And yeah, for him to have that respect and off, you know, the whole club, like I said before, I've never met a person that can bring not only a team, but a whole club that sort of, you know, relies on him in a way to lead us, because essentially whatever he says, we're doing. And that's a reflection, the way the boys are playing now is a reflection of Robbo's coaching, because, yeah, like I said, essentially whatever he says, we do. So I think it goes to show how much respect the boys have of Robbo.
I know I speak for all Roosters fans when we, you know, after the announcement, we probably shed a tear, as you did. But have you got a message for the fans, mate?
Another big thank you. You know, since I was a kid, since I was 16, coming down and being at fan days and them already knowing my name, and there's a big part of them that I went out each week to try and perform at my best, and that was to make them proud as well. And, you know, we've gone through some tough times, especially at the start of my career, and then to have that success through, you know, that decade, it's you know, they deserve it all. They're your biggest supporters, even when you're going bad. And I can honestly say that they drove me to be a better player and a person, and to try and be available to them whenever they needed me. So thank you very much, guys.
Bordy, we know you've given us so many great memories as a young debutant. you know, into our Roosters captain, back-to-back New South Wales victories, riding the roller coaster with you, Australian games, and then obviously as you're headed towards the twilight of your career and having to make that decision, I think a little bit of us retired with you as well, because you have coined a great, you know, the Gidley flick, or, you know, the Ricky Stewart torpedo in rugby league, things are known, Michael O'Connor goal kicking, the Cordner carry, you know what I mean? And kids call it the Cordner carry. We tell them that at footy training for our young kids. But we just want to thank you so much for all the memories you've given us on the field. And I got a sneaky suspicion you're going to give us a fair few memories in the future off the field with being involved at the Roosters and everything else. But I believe you have got a special announcement for Roosters Radio fans.
Yeah, I do. Obviously, I'm looking for work and something to do. So everyone get ready. I'm going to be coming in and doing a couple of co-hosting sessions with the boys on Roosters Radio. So
2022 it is.
Everyone's tuning in. I'll be on the desk a bit more and grilling some of the players and giving everyone an insight into the inner circle of the Roosters. So I'm looking forward to it and can't wait to be there with you guys.
Well, mate, it starts now. Let's talk a bit of footy. We got the Gold Coast this Saturday night.
Nice
how are we
gear
looking?
Change. Nice.
How are we looking and how are we going to beat this mob?
Yeah, no, we're looking good. I think apart from Joey Manu, it's the best side that we can field, our strongest team and since we've been up here. So boys had a really good session tonight and they're raring to go. They know what to do and they know what's on the line and, you know, they're raring to go. I can tell you that right now.
Well, fans, the artist formerly known as Boyd Cordner, now known as the co-host of Roosters Radio 2022, Boydie. Great scoop. Thank you so much for spending the time, mate, the insights, and just a great interview and taking us along the journey. We really wish you the best. We're huge fans, as always. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
see you, guys. Thank you.
There you go, Roosters fans, Silky and Bells. What a terrific leader Boyd Cordner's been for our club. I mean, to take him along the journey and you know, it's just great insights.
Mate, he's one in a million. He's just a great human being, and it was just thoroughly enjoyable to have that conversation with him.
Well, boys, I can't wait to have him on as a co-host next year. It's going to be amazing. We're actually going to have some football experience on the team as well. It's outstanding.
Oh, well, Roosters fans, you've got something to look forward to. Our First Lady of Roosters Radio has announced it with Boyd Cordner 2022. But, guys, right after this, let's talk about this week as we tighten the nuts and bolts on the Gold Coast Titans.
You're on Roosters Radio. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Roosters Radio. Boys, exciting times. The finals are here this weekend, Saturday night. We take on the Titans. Lots to look forward to. We've got Victor Radley coming back in, JWH coming back in. It's going to be a great game up there on Saturday night. How do you see it?
Bells, I can't wait because my favourite rooster is playing his 200th. Daniel Tupu. Can't wait for that. And I reckon they'll rise as one to celebrate another victory on a milestone match. Look, I tell you what, on paper, the Titans side is a pretty handy side. They've got rep players across the park from their backs and their forwards, you know, and coached by former Rooster and Justin Holbrook. I'm thinking it's going to be a real tight game, to be honest. I think it's going to be a really good game. Both sides got points in them, but I think defence is going to win this match. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to the battles.
Look, I'm excited about the return of Victor Radley. I think he's going to take pressure off our halves and add that other ball-playing option. And, Silky, you just said it. It's in defence. And in semi-final games, you need big defence and some key moments. Victor's provided that over the last couple of years. And I just think he bolsters up our pack like nothing else with enthusiasm, that little mix of, you know, a little bit of youth but a heap of experience for such a young man. So in Victor we trust this week. And it's Roosters 18, Titans 16.
Wow, a close one, Bush. A real close game there. Look, I'm looking forward to JWH, our leader from the front, coming back in up the middle. You know, he just brings so much to the side. And, yes, Victor coming back in and that ball playing as well. And I'm also looking forward to seeing what Egan Butch is going to bring to the finals, that footwork and that ball playing and offloading, setting up Teddy again up the middle. But I think it's going to be a bit bigger than that, Bush. I'm picking 28 to 14.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Look, I'm with both of you. I think there's some really key matchups. I'm really looking forward to the matchup of the ones. Young Jaden Campbell, Preston Campbell's young bloke.
Exciting.
Really good young player. Scored a great try last weekend up against our man, Teddy. You know, we forgot to add that he did go for 260 metres last week, which he's been doing it for the past month. Look, I think the matchup that really is a mouthwatering one is the two locks, Victor Radley and Tino Faasamoale.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also we're going to have to handle Fifita as well.
Well, he comes off the bench, yeah. So, and I think we know what he's going to try and do. He'll be looking for our small men. He's done that in the past. So that's his strength, is to find the small men and try and isolate them. And he's dangerous close to the line. Look, Egan Butcher and Isaac Liu obviously are on the bench this week, as is Sammy Walker. So fair bit of strike power coming off the bench. And with that in mind, I think we will win. But I really do think it's going to be close. I'm going to say Roosters 24. Titans 20.
Wow. There you have it, fans.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this episode of Roosters Radio. We want to thank our special guest, the man himself, Mr. Boyd Cordner. You've been listening to Roosters Radio. It's finals time.
East to win.
You've been listening to a Radio Hub production. For more information, visit radiohub.com.au.